सुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण, वेलकम टू भागवत प्रवाह सेशन, द लास्ट सेशन ऑफ द फर्स्ट कैंट ऑफ भागवत प्रवाह। इन द लास्ट फोर सेशंस वी हैव सीन दैट द फर्स्ट 15 चैप्टर्स ऑफ द फर्स्ट कैंटो। इन द फर्स्ट थ्री चैप्टर्स वी हैव सीन द सिक्स क्वेश्चंस ऑफ द सेजेस ऑफ नैमिषारण्य एंड द आंसर्स ऑफ सुत गोस्वामी टू दोज क्वेश्चंस। इन दोज थ्री चैप्टर्स द सुप्रीमेसी ऑफ भक्ति योगा एंड द डिविनिटी ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड भगवान कृष्ण एंड द ग्रेटनेस ऑफ भागवतम आर एस्टैब्लिश्ड। एंड इन द नेक्स्ट थ्री चैप्टर्स, फोर्थ फिफ्थ एंड सिक्स चैप्टर्स, वी हैव सीन द हिस्ट्री ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम, हाउ नारद मुनि इंस्पायर्ड व्यासदेव टू राइट श्रीमद् भागवतम इन सच ए वे दैट कृष्ण इज ग्लोरिफाइड रिपीटेडली एंड भक्ति योग इज एम्फसाइज्ड अदर देन नॉट नॉट लाइक फोर पुरुषार्थस। एंड इन द लेटर चैप्टर्स फ्रॉम द सेवेंथ चैप्टर टिल इलेवेंथ चैप्टर वी हैव सीन कृष्णस डिवाइन क्वालिटी ऑफ भक्त वात्सल्य वेयर ही शोड हिज अफेक्शन टू द्रौपदी उत्तरा देन कुंती महारानी परीक्षित महाराज बाय सेविंग हिम इन द वूम्ब एंड ही रेसिप्रोकेटेड विद द डिवोशन ऑफ कुंती देवी एंड भीष्म एंड हस्तिनापुर वासिस एंड द्वारका वासिस। इन द 12th चैप्टर वी हैव सीन द बर्थ ऑफ परीक्षित। 13th चैप्टर वी हैव सीन द डिपार्चर ऑफ धृतराष्ट्र गांधारी एंड इन द 14th चैप्टर वी हैव सीन द इफेक्ट्स ऑफ डिसअपीयरेंस ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्ण एंड इन द 15th चैप्टर वी हैव सीन हाउ पांडवस रिटायर्ड आफ्टर मेकिंग परीक्षित महाराज एज द किंग। एंड इन दिस चैप्टर 16th चैप्टर वी विल सी द एक्टिविटीज ऑफ परीक्षित महाराज एज द रूलर ऑफ हस्तिनापुर। सो परीक्षित महाराज रूल्ड दिस हस्तिनापुर किंगडम अंडर द गाइडेंस ऑफ क्वालिफाइड ब्राह्मणस एंड विथ ग्रेट क्वालिटीज ही रूल्ड द किंगडम एंड ही मैनिफेस्टेड ऑल द क्वालिटीज एज प्रिडिक्टेड बाई द ग्रेट ब्राह्मणस ड्यूरिंग हिज बर्थ सेरेमनी एंड ही मैरिड इरावती द डॉटर ऑफ किंग उत्तर and he begot four sons and the eldest of those four sons was Lord Janamejaya, Maharaj Janamejaya. And Parikshit Maharaj has also conducted three horse sacrifices and he ruled the citizens like a loving father and he even punished Kali. That's one of the prominent activities done by Parikshit Maharaj. As Suta Goswami was narrating all these activities of Parikshit, suddenly Shaunakadi rishis had a question. They immediately said, "My dear Suta Goswami, why did Parikshit Maharaj just punish Kali? Why he did not kill Kali? So he could have killed Kali if Kali is such a bad personality and he is the ocean of all faults. Why Parikshit has to forgive Kali? He could have killed Kali." Then they also say, the devotees who are accustomed to licking honey from the lotus feet of the Lord, they take shelter of Krishna's topics. Athavasya padam bhoja makarandaliham satam kimanyairasada lapair ayusho yada sadvyayaham. The Shavanakadi rishis are saying that we have asked these questions to you, O Suta Goswami, if you think that these questions contain the topics of Krishna and his devotees, and if these questions are related to some spiritual subject matters, then only you should speak. So because devotees do not want to waste their valuable time in speaking things which are not connected to Krishna, so the devotees are extremely diligent enough to use their time in only spiritual activities. So we are very eager to hear this Harilila Amrita. And whenever somebody is hearing Krishna Katha, even Yamaraj also would not take them. to his abode. So Yamaraj also is very eager to hear a Krishna Katha. How can he take somebody who is absorbed in hearing Krishna Katha? So there is spending time in discussing Krishna Katha, and the devotees of Krishna, Vaishnava Katha, is the best way of utilizing time. So the sages of Naimisharanya are convinced about it, and now they are asking topics related to a pure devotee named Parikshit Maharaj. Now, Suta Goswami describes under what circumstances did Parikshit meet Kali and what exactly were the details. At one point, Maharaj Parikshit, while he is ruling the kingdom, he has heard that Kali has become prominent in his kingdom and people are adopting to some evil means and all that. So Parikshit Maharaj immediately wanted to attack Kali. So this news instigated Parikshit Maharaj's Kshatriya spirit. So some problem is happening in the kingdom. A Kshatriya immediately becomes prepared to challenge that, to face that challenge and to solve that problem. And as a warrior, he is always ready to fight, and such fighting opportunities also give pleasure to Kshatriyas. So thus Parikshit Maharaj started on his chariot to conquer all directions and to find out how his citizens are faring. So Parikshit conquered all parts of the earthly planet, Bhadraswavarsha, Ketumala, all these places. And Parikshit heard about the glories of his ancestors, especially the Pandavas, wherever he went. So Parikshit is such a glorious descendant of the Pandavas. He was the grandchild of a pure devotee, Arjuna, who was directly the associate of Lord Krishna. Wherever Parikshit is going, he is hearing the glories of Pandavas and their loving relationship with Krishna. And Parikshit hears the affectionate relationship between Pandavas and Krishna in various ways from different people. In this context, Suta Goswami speaks a beautiful shloka. Sarathya parishada sevana sakhya dautyam virasana anugamanastavana pranaman snigdheshu pandushu jagat pranatim cha vishnor bhaktim karoti nrupatischarana ravinde. Sarathya parishada sevana sakhya dautya. Sarathi means a chariot driver. Sarathya parishada means the person who receives puja, worship. In the Rajasuya sacrifice, Yudhishthira Maharaj worshipped Krishna. Krishna received Agra Puja from Yudhishthira Maharaj. Sarathya parishada sevana. He became a servant. Krishna became a servant of the Pandavas. Sakhya, he is their friend. And Dautya, he was their messenger. He was like peace messenger of Pandavas. Virasana, like a night watchman. Anugamana, he was following them. Stavana, he was praising them. Pranaman, he was offering respects to Bhima and Yudhishthir because they were his elder cousins. Like that, Krishna has done so many things in relationship with the Pandavas. Why? Why Krishna is doing all these menial services also to the Pandavas? Because the Pandavas are pure devotees of Krishna. Snigdheshu pandushu jagat pranatim cha vishnor. Although Krishna is the source of all Vishnus who receive obeisances from all the other residents of different planetary systems, jagat pranatim cha vishnor, entire universe bows down in front of Vishnu and Krishna is the source of that Vishnu. But the Lord has become a subservient of his devotees Pandavas. Why? Snigdheshu pandushu. All the Pandavas are malleable to the will of Lord. They are so cooperative with the desires of the Lord and plans of the Lord, and they act in such a way that Krishna's mission in this world is fulfilled. Krishna wanted to announce the glory of his devotees, announce the potency and tolerance and patience and humility of his devotees. Pandavas exhibited these qualities. Krishna wanted to remove the burden of this earth, and Pandavas fought and killed so many demoniac people, materialistic people, and reduced the burden of the earth, especially in the Kurukshetra war. So the Pandavas are always aligned to the will of the Lord. So Krishna has become so affectionate towards them, and he did so many menial services also. So bhaktim karoti nrupatish charanaravinde, hearing and remembering about the wonderful relationship between the Pandavas and Krishna, Parikshit Maharaj was offering obeisances to Krishna, to the lotus feet of Krishna. So in this way, Parikshit Maharaj has been hearing the glories of Pandavas and Krishna wherever he travelled. So while he was travelling, once he came upon a scene where a bull and a cow were being tormented by a low-class man. So in some situation, in some place, he has seen that dharma and dhara, dharma is religion personified. That means noble, virtuous principles personified. Then dhara is earth personified. So dhara has taken the form of a cow and dharma has taken the form of a bull, and both of them were conversing with each other. Dharma saw the cow. Cow was so dejected. Means earth was so much in sorrow. So dharma asked earth, what is the reason for your lamentation? Why are you looking so morose? Dharma asked, are you lamenting for a friend who is in a distant place? Are you lamenting seeing my state? Means dharma's three legs were broken. This bull had his three legs broken. Because in Kali Yuga, basically whatever questions that dharma is asking earth were actually symptoms of Kali Yuga. So in Kali Yuga, all these things will happen. Beloved people cannot stay together. So a person will be staying at a distant place and his relatives are staying here. So are you lamenting for a friend who is staying at a distant place? Are you lamenting for my condition? I have lost three legs. And are you lamenting for yourself? Because you are exploited by unlawful meat eaters. Especially in Kali Yuga, people become so hard-hearted that they can even kill cows also in an organized manner. Cows are like mothers. Cows give milk. Cows should not be killed. But in Kali Yuga, people kill cows also in an organized manner. So they want to eat their flesh. How can somebody eat mother's flesh? So here, are you lamenting for yourself being exploited by unlawful meat eaters? Are you lamenting for the devatas who are bereft of any sacrifices? Because devatas subsist on the sacrificial oblations, but in Kali Yuga, sacrifices are not very much performed. And are you lamenting for the sufferings of all living beings? Right, due to famine and drought. In Kali Yuga, famine and drought are quite common. Are you lamenting for women and children? In Kali Yuga, women and children are also exploited. They are supposed to be protected. They are supposed to be respected. But in Kali Yuga, unscrupulous people exploit even women and children also who deserve all protection. And are you lamenting for Goddess of Learning Saraswati? Because Goddess of Learning Saraswati is mishandled by unscrupulous, sinful Brahmanas. And are you lamenting for the Brahmanas who are serving kings? Brahmanas are supposed to guide kings. But in Kali Yuga, intellectual class of people surrender to the ruling people instead of guiding them, and then they derive some material benefits for them, for their own survival. Are you lamenting for the disorder created by so-called administrators or rulers? Are you lamenting for the people engaged in eating, sleeping, mating, defending without any restriction? Eating, sleeping, mating, defending should have some restriction. One should not unrestrictedly indulge in these activities. So people unrestrictedly eat anything and everything. They sleep out of laziness. Mating, they may develop even illicit relationships also. And finally, are you lamenting because of the Supreme Lord Krishna's absence? Because by this time, Krishna has disappeared from this planet and Mother Earth was in deep feelings of separation from Krishna. So Dharma, the bull, asked all these questions. 11 questions he asked. Dhara. So I just enumerated these 11 questions. And why have you reduced it to this state? So when Dharma, in the form of a bull, asked these questions to Dhara, or earth, in the form of a cow, cow started responding. Cow said, my dear Dharma, whatever you said is true. All the 11 reasons that you have enumerated are actually reasons for my lamentation. I am lamenting for your state also. I am lamenting in separation from Krishna also. I am lamenting for my state also. I am lamenting for the state of the living beings living on this planet in Kali Yuga also. And Lord Krishna is the reservoir of all transcendental potencies, and he departed. And how can we maintain our lives in the absence of Krishna? Krishna and Mother earth enumerates 40 glorious qualities of Krishna. How Krishna is endowed with all divine qualities, and she enumerates all these qualities and then remembers Krishna. And now in Kali Yuga, Krishna is absent. I lament about myself, you demigods, sages, pitris, devatas, and the devotees and followers of Varnashrama. And Lakshmiji, whose glance is sought by demigods like Lord Brahma also, gave up her own abode and performed austerities to worship the Lord's feet. And those feet, those very feet of the Lord, traversed on my surface. So Krishna walked on the surface of this globe, surface of this earth. But the earth was having the dear association of Krishna's divine transcendental lotus feet. Of all the devotees of the Supreme Lord Krishna, one devotee who got the maximum association of Krishna was Mother Earth. Because Krishna stayed in Vrindavan, he gave association, his association to all Vrajavasis for more than a decade. And Krishna came to Mathura and he stayed for a while there. And Krishna came to Dwaraka, he stayed for some time there. And Krishna would go to Hastinapur, Krishna would go to Kundanapur and Ayodhya and different places. He went to Sutala Loka also, he went to Varuna Loka also, and he went to Mahavishnu's Loka also, he went to Swarga Loka also. Like that, Krishna, during his manifest pastimes, he gave his association and his darshan to so many people. But the maximum association of Krishna was received by Mother Earth. Because wherever Krishna is there, Krishna's divine lotus feet are in touch with Mother Earth. So Earth got the maximum association, and now she is bereft of Krishna's association. So Earth was feeling so bad. She was feeling so morose. She was in intense feelings of separation from Krishna. In her separation, she says, Kavasa heta viraham purushottamasya premavaloka ruchirasmita valgu jalpaihim sthairyam samanam aharan madhumanini nam romotsavo mamayadam gharvitankitaya kavasa heta viraham purushottamasya. Who can tolerate the pangs of separation from the Supreme Lord Krishna? Premava loka, with his loving glances, ruchirasmita, with his pleasing smiles, valgujalpaihi, with his hearty appeals. With his loving glances, pleasing smiles and hearty appeals, sthairyam samana maharan madhumanini nam, he subdues the wrath of his sweethearts like Satyabhama. He keeps them in his captivity. Means he binds all his queens with love and affection. So thus Krishna performs such enchanting pastimes. And when Krishna was doing all these pastimes on my surface, I was celebrating. My hairs were standing on end. Romotsavo mamayadangri vitankitaya. So my hairs were standing on end. All the grasses and plants on the surface of this earth, they are like hairs of earth. They were standing on end. Where there is a lot of prosperity and greenery when Krishna was there on the surface of this earth. And Mother Earth is missing Krishna. And especially in Vrindavan Dham, when Krishna was there, Krishna would not even wear slippers. He wouldn't wear any shoes. He walks barefoot in Vrindavan, directly imprinting his auspicious lotus footprints on the surface of earth. Mother Earth was feeling so happy. Vrindavanam sakibhuvo avitanoti kirtim yaddevaki sutapadam bujalabdha lakshmi. Vrindavanam sakibhuvo avitanoti kirtim. This Vrindavan Dham is actually spreading the glory of this earthly planet. Mother Earth is so glorious because Vrindavan was there. Vrindavan is there on the surface of this earth, on this planet. The glory of this planet is because of Vrindavan's presence. Because in Vrindavan, Krishna walks barefoot. He may wear slippers everywhere. He may have shoes everywhere, but Krishna wouldn't wear any footwear in Vrindavan Dham. And Sanchintayet Bhagavatas Charanaravindam Vajrankusadhvaja Saroruha Lanchanadhyam. Krishna's lotus feet are marked with such auspicious symbols as elephant, gourd, and thunderbolt, and lotus, and a flag. These are auspicious marks on Krishna's feet, and these marks are imprinted on the land of Vrindavan. And Akrura sees these footprints and he goes into ecstasy and he rolls in the dust from the lotus feet of Krishna. So thus Mother Earth is missing Krishna's presence and she was lamenting in separation from Krishna. So I just spoke the verse number 35 of 16th chapter, 1.16.35. And Mother Earth was lamenting like this, and Dharma, bull, was asking questions and Mother Earth was responding. At that time, Parikshit Maharaj reached there. So Parikshit Maharaj, who was the king of Hastinapur, he saw this scene near Kurukshetra. He saw that the Shudra was basically Kali personified. The Kali Yuga personified he was like a Shudra, but he was dressed like a king. Means a low class man would act like an administrator, and that is the specific nature of Kali Yuga. This Kali personified was beating this bull, was torturing this cow. So bull was as white as a swan, but this bull was terrified, trembling, urinating and standing on one leg. So how can bull who stands on four legs stand on one leg? So bull was unable to stand only. So her three legs were cut down. Means these four legs of Dharma actually represent the four principles of religion. And this Kali has destroyed four legs, destroyed three legs. So Dharma was barely standing on one leg. And means Dharma would stand on only one leg in Kali Yuga. So the cow's condition, cow is very beneficial for everyone. Cow's condition is also so poor. Cow was calfless. And she had tears in her eyes. She was so distressed. She was so weak. She was hankering after some little grass. This is the condition of cows and bulls, who are like fathers and mothers in this world, in Kali Yuga especially. So seated on a golden chariot, armed with bow and arrows, Maharaj Parikshit came there. And he saw the condition of cow and bull. And he immediately picked up his sword to kill Kali on the spot. So a person who torments cows and bulls should not be spared. His life cannot be spared. Parikshit Maharaj, being a very righteous and virtuous ruler, he immediately wanted to chop off the head of Kali. So he just raised his sword. And before doing that, he waited for a moment. He wanted a statement of accusation from this bull. Because bull's legs are lost because of this Kali. And Maharaj Parikshit wanted a statement of accusation from this bull. So may I just take the statement from this bull who was actually tormented. Although it is quite evident, let me just hear from this bull that this person is actually torturing me. I can immediately kill him. So Maharaj Parikshit actually asked Kali, how dare you? Who are you? You appear so strong and you are unnecessarily tormenting these helpless people, helpless creatures. And just because Krishna and Arjuna are not there, you can behave in any way you want. And I am the descendant of Pandavas. When I am there here as the protector of innocent people, nobody should fear me. So I will immediately punish you. Oh bull, can you please give a statement of accusation? Who has tormented you? Then Maharaj Parikshit asked the cow and bull, who are you? You are as white as lotus. I have never seen any cow or bull so tormented like this before in front of my eyes. So please do not lament. Oh son of Surabhi, do not lament. You need not fear this Shudra. Just tell me that he is causing trouble to you. I can immediately kill him on the spot. A king in whose state citizens are terrified, cows and bulls are tormented, that king is actually not a proper king. So it's the king's responsibility to protect innocent creatures like cows and bulls. I will immediately do the needful. Just give me a statement of accusation. So when Parikshit said like this, this bull started responding. So Parikshit very plainly asked, who has cut off your legs? Oh bull, you are very honest. So I will punish anybody who has done it. Even if he is a denizen of heaven also, I wouldn't spare him. So when Parikshit Maharaj said like this, Parikshit was not actually boasting his prowess. Parikshit was speaking like a very responsible ruler, befitting to his position as a descendant of Arjuna and Yudhishthir Maharaj, who are pure devotees of Krishna. So it's the nature of Kshatriyas to be very alert in protecting their citizens. And Parikshit Maharaj is speaking exactly according to his position, his stature. Then Parikshit, when he asked like that, so Bull, Dharma Bull starts speaking to Parikshit Maharaj. He says, "My dear Parikshit, your words are befitting an exemplary, ideal ruler. So we do not know, although you asked me who is the reason for my suffering, who is the cause of my suffering, I'm sorry to say, I don't know who is the cause of my suffering. Different people give different opinions. Different philosophers have different ways of explaining the cause of suffering. So some people say, means Advaitavadis, they say that one's own self is the cause of all suffering. So I suffer because of my own self, my own deeds. So I am the cause of my suffering. Some philosophers, Advaitavadis, say like that. And some other philosophers called Daivagnas, they say that Daiva is the cause of suffering. Means the demigods or the superhuman powers are the cause of our suffering. And there are other set of philosophers, they are Mimamsakas. They say that karma is the cause of suffering. Means one's own fruitive baggage is the cause of one's suffering. And there are other philosophers named Lokayatas. They say Swabhava, or one's acquired nature because of material impressions, that is the cause of our suffering. And there are other people who are Vaishnavas. They say that the cause of suffering cannot be ascertained. Apratarkyat anirdeshyat. So it is difficult to ascertain the cause of one's suffering by tarka, by logic, by reasoning, and by one's intelligence. It's difficult to say who is the cause of suffering. So Dharma Bull did not point out this Kali as the cause of suffering. He did not point out anyone as the cause of his suffering. He just said, "My dear Parikshit Maharaj, I am bewildered. I am unable to understand the cause of my suffering. So you figure out who is the cause of suffering. By your own advanced intelligence, you only figure out who is the cause of my suffering. So I cannot say." So there are two important messages in the way Dharma has spoken about the cause of his suffering. Number one, Dharma says, "I am confused about the cause of my suffering." That indicates the quality of Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, people are so confused and bewildered in understanding Dharma, in understanding the reason for their own suffering. Number two is a very important and Vaishnava perspective. So one way is, we cannot figure out what is the cause of our suffering. Basically, the cause of our suffering is to be in this material body, material world, disconnected from Krishna's service. If we are reinstated in Krishna's service by performance of Bhakti Yoga, we can go to spiritual world. We need not suffer there. So like that, who is the cause of my suffering? So it's a very popular question in Chaitanya Charitamrita also. That people cannot understand in this world. So Dharma's apparent bewilderment or confusion is indicating the confusion or bewilderment of Kali Yuga people in figuring out the cause of their suffering. The second important Vaishnava perspective here is, Dharma, being the personality of religion, did not point out anybody as the cause of suffering. Means, when we suffer, we should not blame others as the cause of our suffering. We suffer because of our own past deeds. We suffer because our suffering is also ultimately sanctioned by Krishna. In that sense, Krishna is the cause of suffering. But it is not appropriate to say that Krishna is the cause of suffering. So Krishna is the cause of all causes. Because Krishna purposely does not want anyone to suffer. Because everybody is a child of God. Mamaivamsho jiva loke jiva bhutas sanatanaha. Krishna says very emphatically in Bhagavad Gita that everybody is my child. How can Krishna see his own child suffering? But Krishna has created a system. Krishna has created the laws of nature by which a person suffers because of one's own misdeeds. In that sense, Krishna is the ultimate cause of all causes. He is sarva karana karanam. Namo namaste akhila karanaya. Gajendra also prays. Namo namaste akhila karanaya. Nishkaranaya adbhuta karanaya. Sarvagamamnaya maharanavaya. Namo pavargaya parayanaya. So ultimately, Krishna is the cause of all causes, and we need to understand that we should not blame anyone else. So when we receive some suffering in our life, we may start blaming. When we become very successful and victorious, the general tendency is to claim credit for our success. And when we are defeated, when we receive some reversals or experience some suffering, the general tendency is to shift blame. Because of him, I am suffering. Because of her, I am suffering. Because of so and so reason, I am suffering. It's natural for us to shift blame. But a Vaishnava is a person who does not shift blame. Who does not blame other people for one's own suffering. A Vaishnava is a person who always takes responsibility for his own suffering. He thinks that I am suffering because of my own past deeds. Tattenu kampam susamikshamanam bhunjana eva atmakritam vipakam. It's all because of my own past deeds that I am undergoing this suffering, and Krishna has minimized my suffering by giving me only a token of suffering, although I deserve to suffer a lot. And hridvag vapur bhir vidadhan namaste, and I just need to offer devotional service unto Krishna with my body, with my mind, with my words. That's all I need to do. And ultimately Krishna has sanctioned it for my own purification. So why should I blame anyone? Sometimes externally somebody may be the apparent cause of our suffering. So we may have to address that also. All this karma, daiva, svabhava, kala, these are all causes of suffering. No doubt about it. But this kind of understanding that kala is the cause of everything, karma is the cause of everything, this kind of understanding is not incorrect, but it is incomplete. Complete understanding is to understand that the Supreme Lord is the cause of all causes. He has made this system by which people experience pleasant or unpleasant things in one's life because of their own past deeds. So when some problem comes in life, and apparently somebody has done some mistake, and because of that mistake some people are suffering, we need to address it. We need to if required, we may have to punish the person who is the cause of suffering of other people. In that sense, blame is needed. However, ultimately we need to understand that it is Krishna, it is the Supreme Lord who has made this system by which people undergo various pleasant and unpleasant experiences in one's life. And on a personal level, one should always think that I am suffering because of my own past deeds. And I should not be seeing someone else as the cause of my suffering. Although apparently he or she or this person or this situation is the intermediate cause of my suffering or immediate cause of my suffering, not the ultimate cause of my suffering. One should take responsibility. And one may have to address the immediate cause or intermediate cause of one's suffering, but one cannot say that this is the ultimate cause. We should always remember the ultimate cause. One should responsibly act in such a way that the situation is addressed, but at heart, one should also be convinced that I have to undergo this unpleasant experience as a result of my own past deeds. So that is the understanding of a Vaishnava. Here Dharma could clearly say that Kali is the cause of my suffering, but Dharma did not say. Dharma just said that I cannot figure out who is the cause of my suffering. Apratarkya anirdeshat. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this apratarkya or anirdesha means this reason which is beyond our logic and reason actually indicates Krishna and the Supreme Lord. And it's not proper to say that Krishna or the Supreme Lord is the cause of my suffering. So he's the cause of all causes. That's what people say. And because of my own past deeds, I am suffering. So like that. So Parikshit Maharaj consoled Dharma. Because you did not point out anyone as the cause of your suffering, you must be Dharma. You must be Dharma personified. So I can easily understand this. You used to stand on four legs in the previous yuga. But now you are standing on one leg. Tapaha shaucham daya satyam iti padaha krite kritaha. In the Krita Yuga or in the Satya Yuga, Dharma stands on four legs. That is, tapaha shaucham daya satyam. Tapa is austerity, shaucha is cleanliness, daya is compassion, satyam is truthfulness. So these are the four legs of dharma. And one leg, now we are barely standing on one leg, that is truthfulness, because of the personified Kali. So previously the Lord relieved the burden of earth cow, but now she is being burdened, she is lamenting now. So I will immediately take an action. And Parikshit Maharaj immediately lifted his sword to kill Kali on the spot. Although Dharma did not give a statement of accusation, Parikshit could easily figure out that this Kali personified is the cause of the suffering of Dharma and Dhara. And now this Kali tormenting Dharma and Earth is not visible to everybody. Parikshit Maharaj actually has seen this in his yogic vision. It's not an ordinary sight seen by every single common person. So Parikshit could see this in his yogic vision, and in that yogic vision Parikshit is addressing this situation. Parikshit immediately wanted to kill Kali on the spot. But Kali just surrendered. Kali did not fight with Parikshit Maharaj. Kali fell at the feet of Parikshit. So Parikshit Maharaj said, how can I kill a person who has surrendered at my feet? So I will not kill you, Kali. You don't have to fear for your life. I will not kill you. But you cannot stay in my kingdom. Get out of my kingdom. So first Parikshit Maharaj wanted to kill Kali. Kali surrendered. Then Parikshit Maharaj wanted to send Kali away from his kingdom. But Kali said that you have given me shelter. So how can you say that, get out of my kingdom? And where is that place which is not under the jurisdiction of your kingdom? Everywhere is your kingdom. So if you have given me shelter when I fell at your feet, you are supposed to show a place where I can stay. Let me stay in your kingdom only. Then Parikshit Maharaj thought that, where should I give him any place? So then Parikshit Maharaj intelligently said, wherever four regulative principles are being broken, you can stay there. Means, wherever illicit sex is happening, wherever meat eating is happening, wherever gambling is happening, and wherever other things are happening, so cheating is happening, so you can just stay there. So illicit sex, gambling, meat eating. So these are the places where Kali can stay. So wherever the four regulative principles are being broken, people can Kali can stay there. So these are the places designated by Parikshit Maharaj for Kali. And later Parikshit Maharaj, then Kali surrendered to Kali. Kali surrendered to Parikshit Maharaj and asked, you have given me only four places to stay, but these four places do not exist in your kingdom only. So where can I find a place where somebody is performing illicit sex in your kingdom? Where can I find a place where somebody is gambling? Or where can I find a place where somebody is meat eating? So I cannot find such places in your kingdom only. So can you please give me some other place? Then Parikshit Maharaj said, okay, you can stay in a place where gold is there. Because wherever there is gold, wherever there is lot of wealth, wherever there is intoxication in wealth, there people might tend to break these four regulative principles. So now Kali was given this four places to stay, and finally a fifth place also, which is gold. So wherever falsity, intoxication, lust, envy and enmity are there, Kali can stay there. So one has to very carefully stay away from these four places. So wherever four regulative principles are broken, that means it is the place of Kali. Intoxication, illicit sex, gambling and meat eating. So these are the four places where Kali stays. And wherever there is wealth which is being misutilized for these four purposes also, Kali can stay. So Parikshit Maharaj, after giving this residence to Kali, he has utilized all the wealth in his kingdom for Krishna conscious activities. Thus, Parikshit Maharaj has made Kali practically residenceless. So, Parikshit Maharaj tried to avoid and eliminate Kali in five ways, but finally Kali found some place. Parikshit Maharaj first wanted to kill Kali. Kali surrendered. He gave place where four regulative principles are being broken, and Kali asked for another place. Then Parikshit Maharaj gave him a place where he can stay at gold, stay where gold is there. And gold is used in Krishna conscious activities. So the different ways in which Parikshit Maharaj wanted to eliminate Kali was, number one, to kill him. Number two, to send him out of the kingdom. Number three, to give him places where four regulative principles are broken. Number four, to give him a place where gold is there. Number five, to utilize gold in Krishna conscious activities, right? So now Parikshit Maharaj warned Kali like this, and then he continued to rule his kingdom. One day Parikshit Maharaj went to the forest for hunting, as it is common for Kshatriyas to go for hunting. Then after describing all these incidents to the sages of Naimisharanya, Suta Goswami was describing all these incidents to sages of Naimisharanya. So the Naimisharanya sages asked Suta Goswami, please continue to narrate further what has happened. So we are very eager to hear. So now they express their eagerness by reciting so many beautiful shlokas. They say that Tulayama lavena pinaswargam napunar bhavam bhagavat sangi sangasya martyanam kimutasishaha. So we are relishing your glorious association, O Suta Goswami, because we cannot compare the power of association of a Vaishnava even for a moment with the ultimate results of Karmapath and Jnanapath, which is this Svarga and Apavarga, liberation and heavenly enjoyment. So association of devotees is more valuable than this Svarga and Apavarga also. So like that, they glorify and they also express their eagerness to hear Krishna Katha. They say, Tanno bhavan vai bhagavat pradhano mahattamaikanta parayanasya harerudaram charitam vishuddham susrushatam no vitanotu vidvan. Here, the sages are saying that, Tanno bhavan vai bhagavat pradhano. You are a person who has made the Supreme Lord Krishna as the prime object of your life. You are Bhagavat Pradhana. That is the qualification of a speaker. And what is the quality of subject matter that the speaker speaks? Harer Udaram Charitam Vishuddham. The Supreme Lord's nectarian transcendental narrations are the subject matter of discussion. And what is the quality of a hearer of Srimad Bhagavatam? They say that susrushatamno vitanotu vidvan. We are very eager to hear. So the speaker's quality is, he has made Krishna as the prime object of his life. The hearer's quality is enthusiasm and eagerness to hear. And the quality of subject matter is that it describes Krishna's nectarian narrations. So like that, this is the 15th shloka. So that describes the qualities of speaker and hearer and the subject matter of Bhagavatam. So like that, the sages express deep enthusiasm for hearing further activities of Parikshit Maharaj. And Parikshit Maharaj's birth, death and dealings with Kali are extremely glorious. Suta Goswami glorifies them in the fourth shloka of 18th chapter. He says, Nautama shloka vartanam jushatam tkattathamritam syat sambharamontaka lepi smaratam tatpadam bujam. Na uttama shloka vartanam jushatam tat kathamritam. He says, the person who has dedicated his entire life for the topics of the Lord, for the service of the Lord, he would not run into any misconceptions or confusions or bewilderments even at the time of death. Because the example is Parikshit Maharaj has no confusions at the time of leaving his body. He was cursed to die within just 7 days. In such a short notice, he has to prepare for his death. But he had no confusions or no attachments. He left the body by remembering the lotus feet of Krishna. That is the glory of a person who has dedicated his entire life for Krishna's topics and Krishna's service. So in this way, Parikshit Maharaj was glorified by Suta Goswami. And in the 7th shloka of this chapter, Suta Goswami also says, ನಾನು ದ್ವೇಷ್ಟಿಕ ಲಿಂಸಾಮ್ರಾಟ್ ಸಾರಂಗ ಇವ ಸಾರಭು ಕುಶಲಾನ್ಯಾನು ಸಿದ್ಧಂತಿ ನೇತರಾಣಿ ಕೃತಾನಿ ಯತ್. ಹಿ ಸೇಸ್ ಕಲಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಫಾಲ್ಟ್ಸ್, ಈಸ್ ಎನ್ ಓಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಫಾಲ್ಟ್ಸ್, ಬಟ್ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಕುಡ್ ಸಿ ಒನ್ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿಫುಲ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಕಲಿ. ನಾನು ದ್ವೇಷ್ಟಿ ಕಲಿಂ ಸಾಮ್ರಾಟ್. ಎರ್ಲಿಯರ್ ದ ಸೇಜಸ್ ಆಫ್ ನೈಮಿಷಾರಣ್ಯ ಆಸ್ಕಡ್ ಸೂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ವೈ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಡಿಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಕಿಲ್ ಕಲಿ, ಹಿ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಪನಿಷ್ಡ್ ಕಲಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಟ್ರೈ ಟು ಎಲಿಮಿನೇಟ್ ಕಲಿ, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಸೀನ್ ಸಮ್ ಗುಡ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟಿ ಇನ್ ಕಲಿ ಆಲ್ಸೋ. ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಟ್ ಗುಡ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟಿ? ನಾನು ದ್ವೇಷ್ಟಿ ಕಲಿಂ ಸಾಮ್ರಾಟ್ ಸಾರಂಗ ಇವ ಸಾರ ಭುಗ್. ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಬೀಂಗ್ ಎನ್ ಎಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಸೀಕರ್, ಹಿ ಸಾ ದಟ್ ಇನ್ ಕಲಿಯುಗ ವೆನ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಈವನ್ ಥಿಂಕ್ ಆಫ್ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮಿಂಗ್ ಸಮ್ ಗುಡ್ ಆಕ್ಟಿವಿಟೀಸ್, ದೇ ವಿಲ್ ಗೆಟ್ ದ ಬೆನಿಫಿಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮಿಂಗ್ ದೋಸ್ ಗುಡ್ ಆಕ್ಟಿವಿಟೀಸ್, ವೈಲ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಅದರ್ ಯುಗಾಸ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ದ ಗುಡ್ ಆಕ್ಟಿವಿಟೀಸ್ ಟು ಡಿರೈವ್ ದೇರ್ ಬೆನಿಫಿಟ್. ಹಿ ನೋಸ್ ದಟ್ ದ ಗುಡ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಕಲಿ ಇಸ್ ದಟ್ ದ ಆಸ್ಪಿಷಿಯಸ್ ಆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಬೇರ್ ಎಫೆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಬೈ ಇಂಟೆಂಡಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಡೂ ದಮ್. ಈವನ್ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಗುಡ್ ಇಂಟೆನ್ಷನ್ಸ್ ಟು ಡೂ ಸಮ್ ಆಸ್ಪಿಷಿಯಸ್ ಆಕ್ಟಿವಿಟೀಸ್, ಯು ವಿಲ್ ಸ್ಟಿಲ್ ಡಿರೈವ್ ಸಮ್ ಬೆನಿಫಿಟ್. ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಕಲಿ. ಅಂಡ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಕಲಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಸಚ್ ಗುಡ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟಿ, ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಸ್ಪೇರ್ಡ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ. ಸೊ ನೌ ಸುತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಕಂಟಿನ್ಯೂ ಟು ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ ದ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿಫುಲ್ ಆಕ್ಟಿವಿಟೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್. ಹಿ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಒನ್ಸ್ ವೆಂಟ್ ಟು ದ ಫಾರೆಸ್ಟ್. ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಫೆಟೀಗ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಫಾರೆಸ್ಟ್, ಹಿ ಬಿಕೇಮ್ ಎಫ್ಲಿಕ್ಟೆಡ್ ವಿತ್ ಹಂಗರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಥರ್ಸ್ಟ್. ನೌ ದಟ್ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಹೂ ಕುಡ್ ಸೀ ದ ಹೀಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾಸ್ತ್ರ ವೈಲ್ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ವಿತ್ ಇನ್ ದ ವೂಂಬ್ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಮದರ್, ಹಿ ಬಿಕೇಮ್ ಎಫ್ಲಿಕ್ಟೆಡ್ ವಿತ್ ಹಂಗರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಥರ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಅಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಸ್ಟೇಜ್. ಸೊ ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ಇಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನಿಂಗ್ ನೌ ಇನ್ ದ ಲೈಫ್ ಆಫ್ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಇಸ್ ಎ ವಿಲ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್. ಸೊ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಬಿಕೇಮ್ ಎಫ್ಲಿಕ್ಟೆಡ್ ವಿತ್ ಹಂಗರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಥರ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಆಸ್ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ವಾಂಡರಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಫಾರೆಸ್ಟ್. ಸೊ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಲುಕಿಂಗ್ ಫಾರ್ ಸಮ್ ವಾಟರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿ ಫೌಂಡ್ ಎ ಹೆರ್ಮಿಟೇಜ್ ದೇರ್. ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಹೆರ್ಮಿಟೇಜ್ ಆಫ್ ಶಮೀಕ ಋಷಿ. ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಕೇಮ್ ಟು ಶಮೀಕ ಋಷಿಸ್ ಆಶ್ರಮ್. And at that time, Shamik Rishi was in trance. He closed his eyes. He was meditating on the Supreme Lord. So he was a Brahmana. He was a sage. So he was absorbed in meditation on the Supreme Lord. And he could not notice Parikshit Maharaj's arrival. And Parikshit went to this sage and asked, "Can you please give me some water? I am fatigued." So there was no response from Shamik Rishi because he was in meditation. Parikshit asked a couple of times and he became so angry. I am the ruler of this place and how could this sage neglect me? How could he not welcome me when I came for water? So Parikshit Maharaj got offended and he picked up a dead snake which was lying there. He picked up a dead snake and then put the dead snake around the neck of Shamik Rishi as a, reaction or as a punishment for his cold reception. And after doing this, Parikshit Maharaj went back to his kingdom. And this incident has been told to the son of Shamik Rishi. Son of Shamik Rishi was Shringi. He was an immature 5-year-old boy. He was playing there and some people just came and told me, "See, some king came to your hermitage, to your father's hermitage. Your father was in meditation and that king has kept a dead snake around your father's neck." And Shringi became so furious. He became so arrogant. He became so offended. How can such a king come to our house and insult us? These Kshatriyas are like watchdogs who are supposed to be staying outside our houses. Right? How can the watchdog come inside the house and dine on the same plate with his master? So how is this possible? This Parikshit Maharaj or whoever has come to insult my father, let him die within 7 days by the bite of a bird. So like that, Shringi, without thinking, out of his offensive attitude, out of his pride of being a Brahmana, out of his pride in possessing Brahmanical power, he cuts at Parikshit Maharaj to die within 7 days by the bite of a snake bird. And this also marks the beginning of Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, people lose brahmanical qualities or people misuse their brahmanical prowess. So Kali, this also, this Sringis misusing his brahmanical prowess marks the beginning of Kali Yuga. He even compared the rulers with dogs, watchdogs, and Sringi very outrageously cursed Parikshit Maharaj for an insignificant offense he has committed. Yes, what Parikshit Maharaj has done was not appropriate. The sage Shamika Rishi was in trance and Parikshit Maharaj has kept a dead snake around his neck, which was not an appropriate activity. But for that small mistake, for that insignificant offense, he has been cursed to die within 7 days, although he was the ruling monarch in those days. So the Sringi came back to his ashram and he started crying. He was crying so loudly, seeing that his father has been treated in this way by the king. And Shamikrishi was in trance, and then he came out of his trance and he saw that a dead snake was around his neck. He just threw that snake and then came to this boy and he asked, "My dear child, why are you crying? What happened to you?" Then Sringi narrated everything that has happened. And he also told that, "I have cursed that king. Whoever has insulted you in this way, I have cursed that king to die within 7 days." Then Shamikrishi became so upset. "Oh, immature boy, you inexperienced child. What do you know? Do you know the greatness of a monarch? How can a monarch, how can a ruler be cursed like that? Parikshit Maharaj is the great king and he is coming from a very glorious dynasty. When he came out of his hunger, out of his thirst to our hermitage, it is our responsibility to receive him nicely and give him some water. And when he did not get water, he became little frustrated and behaved in this way. That does not mean you curse him to die like this. So you have done a great mistake." And later Shamikrishi offered prayers to the Lord. "My dear Lord, please forgive this innocent, ignorant boy. He is inexperienced. He has cursed a ruler. He has done a heinous mistake. Please forgive him." So like that, Shamikrishi laments for whatever has happened to Parikshit Maharaj. And Shamikrishi prays for his son. So in this context, Suta Goswami speaks a beautiful verse. How devotees are so forbearing. Here Shamikrishi was not at all offended that he was insulted by Parikshit Maharaj. And later, after some time, you will see that Parikshit Maharaj also would not get offended that he has been cursed to die within 7 days. So thus, these two exalted personalities exhibit this divine quality of tolerance. So they had great quality of tolerance. Tiraskrita vipralabdhaha shaptaha kshiptaha ta api nasya tat pratikurvanti tadbhaktaha prabhavopihi. Tiraskrita vipralabdha. When the devotees of the Supreme Lord, even if they are defamed or cheated or cursed or disturbed or neglected or even killed also, they would tolerate all of them. They would not retaliate. They know no retaliation is the best retaliation. A devotee would not retaliate. So this is the glorious consciousness of a devotee. So knowing that Parikshit Maharaj has been cursed to die within 7 days, this Shamikrishi sends one of his disciples named Gauramukha to the kingdom of Parikshit Maharaj to inform him about this curse. Then Gauramukha comes to this Parikshit's kingdom. So Parikshit Maharaj came back to his kingdom and he started thinking, "What did I do in the forest? When the sage was absorbed in meditation, how could I insult him in that way? I am supposed to be a great ruler and I am supposed to be protecting Brahmanical culture and respecting cows and innocent people. How can I behave in such a way towards a great sage? So let now I can expect some calamity in my life. I must expect some punishment." And it is natural for anyone who has done a mistake to expect that some punishment will come to him. But Parikshit Maharaj did not only expect a punishment, he even desired a punishment. "I must be punished for my heinous activity. If I am not punished, I may be inspired to do some similar mistakes in future also. So I must be punished for my activity. I should not be spared. And if I am not punished, my family members may be affected. So I must be punished. So as Parikshit was contemplating like this, Gauramukha comes to Parikshit Maharaj and informs Parikshit that you have been cursed to die within 7 days. You can do the necessary arrangements. And Maharaj and Shamika Rishi is also regretting for this or whatever has happened. So Parikshit Maharaj understood this and he understood that this curse is a blessing in disguise. This will be a cause of my indifference towards material attachments. Now I can give my kingdom to Janamejaya. So Parikshit Maharaj has given his kingdom to Janamejaya and he renounced everything. And then he went to the bank of Ganges and he sat there to spend the rest of his life hearing Krishna Katha. And Parikshit Maharaj did, although he was regretting for his mistake, Parikshit Maharaj did not go and say sorry to Sage Shimik Rishi. Because Shimik Rishi was already feeling so embarrassed that Parikshit has been cursed like this. If Parikshit goes and says sorry to Shimik Rishi, he begs forgiveness, Shimik Rishi would be further embarrassed. So Parikshit Maharaj did not want to cause that embarrassment to Shimik Rishi, so he did not say sorry. And he never wanted any nullification of this curse also. He just went to the banks of Ganges renouncing everything. He was repenting for his mistake and now he was relieved. So Prabhupada writes in this purport that all the reactions, all the sinful reactions for one's sinful activities are burnt in the fire of honest repentance. So Parikshit Maharaj regretted for his mistake and he went on the banks of Ganges and so many sages assembled there as if they were invited. They knew that Parikshit Maharaj is going to die within 7 days because of this curse. So they all assembled there to see Parikshit Maharaj's glorious departure. And Parikshit Maharaj spoke, Tammopayatam pratiyantu vipra gangacha devi dhritachitta meeshe dvijopasrishtaha kuhakaha takshakova dashastvalam gayatha vishnu gatha. Parikshit Maharaj told that whatever magical thing that the sage has created, let that come and bite me and kill me. I do not fear that. All of you sages, you have assembled here. Gayatha Vishnu Gatha. You just glorify the glorious activities of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And may Ganga be merciful upon me. May the Supreme Lord be merciful upon me. Punascha Bhuyat. He says, Punascha Bhuyat Bhagavatyanante Ratih Prasangascha Tadashra Yeshu Mahatsuyamya Mupaya Misrishtim Maitriyastu Sarvatra Namodvijebhyaha. He says, Punascha Bhuyat Bhagavatyanante, if at all I have to take birth again in this world, may I have loving devotion unto the Lord. May I have association of devotees of the Lord. May I have loving friendships with people in general, with all living entities. I do not desire nullification of this curse. So all the sages have approved the decision of Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj has decided to fast until death and then hear Krishna Katha till death. So all the sages have approved Parikshit Maharaj's decision and they glorified and they wanted to stay there till Parikshit Maharaj departs. And Parikshit Maharaj very humbly asked the sages this question. What is the duty of a person throughout his life and what is the duty of a person at the time of death? How to live and how to leave this world? So in this way Parikshit Maharaj asked this question. So tatascha vaha prushcham imam viprucchi vishribhya vipra iti kritya yayam. So like that Parikshit Maharaj asked a question, what is the duty of a person at the time of death? What is the duty of a person during his lifetime? So all the sages apparently could not answer this question because these two questions are supposed to be answered by Sukadeva Goswami. As if waiting for the arrival of Sukadeva Goswami, they all looked in the direction and Sukadeva Goswami has arrived there. He was so beautiful. He was very young, like a 16-year-old boy. And some children and some other people were surrounding him. He was undressed also. So Parikshit, Sukadeva Goswami came there and sat on Vyasasana. And Parikshit offered him seat and then offered him respects and started speaking to him. He received him with great respect. He said that, "My dear Sukadeva Goswami, you have come here today to enlighten me and to give me association because it is all Krishna's grace. Because I am connected with the Pandavas somehow or the other and the Pandavas are so pure devotees, Lord Krishna has arranged this meeting with you out of his causeless mercy upon me." He says that, "Yesham samsmaranat pumsah sadyah shudhyanti vaigrihah kim punardarshana sparsha pada sauchasana dibhi." Just by remembering the lotus feet of such great devotees as yourself, we will be completely purified. What to speak of seeing you, touching your lotus feet and washing your lotus feet or touching you. So what a great fortune that I have today. Parikshit Maharaj received Sukadeva Goswami's association. Who would be speaking Bhagavatam to Sukadeva Goswami for the rest of his life, means the next 7 days. So Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami the same question that he has asked to the sages also. He said, My dear Sukadeva Goswami, what a person is supposed to hear, chant and remember throughout his life, and what a person is supposed to hear, chant and remember at the time of death. So how to live this life and how to leave. So the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is an answer to these two questions. What is the duty of a person at all times in one's life, and what is the duty of a person who is about to leave his body? So these are the two questions that will be answered by Sukadeva Goswami in the rest of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's how the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam ends, with these questions of Parikshit Maharaj. And Sukadeva Goswami begins to answer them in the beginning of second canto. And we will begin second canto from tomorrow. Thank you all very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Hare Krishna.